Welcome to Art If, the podcast about art, life, and everything in between.
All right, in this week's minisode, we talk about provocation number 17 from Tom Draculich.
This provocation asks us to find a piece of abstract art that you don't understand and use this simple checklist to interpret it. Describe, analyze, interpret, and then judge the artwork.
So we talked about how there are certain pieces that make you go, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
And yeah, and like, we often don't give those pieces the time of day. And so this provocation really allowed us to spend some time with the piece and pay attention to each detail. And we really were impressed how it not only helped us understand the sculpture better, but also the space around the sculpture. So here's our conversation. So,
did you find a piece of abstract art out in your community?
Yeah, so actually, once I kind of opened my eyes, they're everywhere. They're like in every corner. Yeah, like every roadway or roundabout has like some sort of like giant metal sculpture. I like started noticing them everywhere.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah. We have a specific sculpture walk here in Springfield.
Okay.
And so I guess sort of like that. I see these sculptures everywhere, but I went intentionally to follow the path and sort of see what was around and see what I would encounter.
Okay, cool.
So what did you pick?
So I ended up picking one. I had thought actually I was going to pick a different one that was kind of on the way to Trader Joe's that I see a lot. And I think the reason I was going to pick it is because the Trader Joe's lady once told me her like husband made them. And so I was like, oh, and she's like, you know the one. So that was the one I had in mind when Tom was talking. But I ended up picking a different one that was by where I park. And it's in downtown Reno, like where the casinos are. And what's interesting is there's actually a lot of Burning Man sculpture that comes in and out of downtown Reno as a part of the connection. So I later found out this was one of those Burning Man pieces.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, but so I picked one that's in front of the Sands Casino, which is just off of sort of the main drag of downtown.
How many casinos are there?
Oh, a lot. I don't even know. I mean, the main downtown Virginia Street has at least like five or six I can think of. And then there's another at least like five or six off of the main sort of street.
Oh, interesting. I guess I just sort of always thought of all of that really isolated in Las Vegas.
Oh, so imagine like Las Vegas built in the 70s and like a lot more downtrodden and less fancy. That's kind of what Reno is, which is why it's the butt of so many jokes. I mean, there are some nice ones too, but yeah. But this kind of what's cool is it allows for this kind of funky art scene, right? Yeah. It's not all of this like...
Well, the 70s definitely allow for that.
I will say our circus is nicer than the one in Vegas. I will say that.
Ooh, so, cool. Because
I think that was built in like the 90s. and the one in Vegas is a little seedy. But anyway, awesome. So I picked a sculpture. And the reason I picked it is because it felt like it was trying to bridge this casino aesthetic and this Burning Man aesthetic.
Oh.
So we'll talk about it. What did you pick? Or do we want to do my whole spiel and do your whole spiel?
It doesn't matter. I'll tell you what I picked.
Okay.
So I also thought I was going to do a different one than I ended up doing.
Okay.
There is a sort of pretty abstract sculpture down on the square. And actually when Joyelle came to visit, we played with it a little bit in the site-specific performance that they created. And so I intended to go down there, and then I was on the sculpture walked down this path and ran across this sculpture that I had forgotten about, but that I had seen before. It's a section of the path that I walk my dog on because there's a lot of grass, and it's really kind of away from the traffic.
Nice.
So it's actually a path that runs down behind the ice skating rink that we have here.
Cool.
And then like under an underpass towards downtown. So it's in this sort of like weird, like no man's land area that doesn't get a lot of foot traffic. And I remember seeing it before and being like, what the fuck is that doing here?
Well, so that's kind of the perfect one to approach, right?
Exactly.
Awesome. So the first step was to describe. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. Yes. So the one I was looking at was a black sort of metal sculpture that was shaped like a tree trunk. So it was sort of had a wider base, narrowed in the middle, and then sort of opened up again, right? Like the branches of a tree do.
Uh-huh.
And then on top of it were these like tons of like white covered white cubes, and it looked like a snow covered tree. And so this is what kind of during the day. So it was these like big blocky sort of square cubes. Okay. On this like tree-like sculpture. But then what I realized is that at night, it turned all sorts of different colors. And Ooh. So that's where it like drew, because I saw it during the day and I was like, this is ugly. I used to be like, this is ugly. And then it wasn't until I started seeing it at night that I'm like, oh, I see the beauty in this. And I see how, like, it's kind of neatly placed with the like lights of the casino. And then you have this sort of more geometric technology lighting. So I thought it was an interesting, well, we're not to the interpret yet. So that's the description of mine.
Okay.
What is your description?
The description of mine is, I want to almost start out like yours. It's a metal structure that is wider at the base and it narrows in the middle, almost like a tree trunk.
Okay. And it's the same sculpture. Are you in Reno?
But actually, it's two intersecting pieces of metal that sort of intersect the way like the stand on a paper doll intersects, right? They bisect each other. Okay. And so there's essentially like four sides, right, to it. So it's these two pieces that are intersecting, but they're cut in the shape basically of like a chess piece queen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can picture it.
So it stands about probably 15 or 20 feet high. It diverges from a piece of the chess queen because it doesn't have the castle squares around the top.
Like but
it
her has, little fat, fancy hat.
Right. I guess it's a hat.
I don't know. I always imagine it as her little like hat, her little crown.
No, you're right. I guess I stupidly I was thinking that it's actually like the way when you draw a castle as a kid, you draw those little blocks, right? Yeah. It's that, but it's on a crown.
Yeah. Okay.
So it doesn't have that part at the top, okay. But it has these sort of almost like spikes that sort of come off the top or like troll hair.
Okay.
And it's color blocked in black and white alternating.
Okay.
And so the panels where they intersect. On one panel, it's white, and the next to it is black. And then, so they alternate up and down, but also around, if okay. that makes sense.
I think so. Okay.
And so
I think
it's
we
located,
should definitely show them to each other after we're done and see if it matches
you
like,
should
our
try
imagination.
And draw what I describe.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. And same? Or just
sure.
I get to draw, and then everybody gets to laugh. Just is that the point?
And so it's located in this grassy area, like I said, sort of right next to an underpass walkway and like down in this valley behind the ice skating rink. And actually on the other side of the fence is a metal scrapyard.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Interesting context clue.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. So then the next part.
Yeah. Step two is analyze.
Analyze. So I had a little difficulty sort of between analyze and interpret.
Okay.
I mean, how, like, because I felt like I was doing both at the same time.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess when I think of analyze, I think about breaking it down into its component parts. So it's kind of like describing, but it's doing it in more detail and drawing attention to the relationships between the parts. And then interpreting is coming up with what it means.
I see. I guess for me, analyzing, yeah, I don't know. Analyzing felt like a muddy area between describe and interpret.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
So I think part of my analysis is like put together, it looked like a snow-covered tree. But that's, see, I feel like that's interpreting already.
Yeah.
Like maybe I'm skipping the analysis part. So I don't know. This is what I said. It changes colors. So for me, there was something about like the time or the season and the fact that it was like LED compared to this casino. It was like there was something about this progress. I know I'm skipping to interpret. This is what I'm saying. Like, I think I just skipped the analysis part. And then, I was thinking it's like the relationship of like nature and technology and sort of like old and new Reno. This is my analysis interpretation. That's how I read the whole thing. So like the color, so analyzing is like the white cubes change colors. And that, so that would be analysis. And then I think that has to do with the changing of time.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So I guess I did two parts.
Okay. Sorry. So I'll do analyze and interpret then. So if I'm analyzing this sculpture, I'm looking at the fact that the shape of the sculpture has relatively clean lines. The lines between the color blocks are clean and distinct. And if we come back to this idea that it is somewhat shaped like a tree, but it's missing the top of the tree. And so there's a little bit of an organic feel to it in the smoothness of the lines. All the lines are curved. There's not really a straight line in the cut of the metal, but there are straight lines in the distinction between the color blocks. So there's this hard metal that's made out of organic lines that have a lot of intersecting pieces, and there is juxtaposition and contrast in the color. I'm also looking at it as a sculpture that is isolated in this green field, and there's really nothing else nearby. Any trees that are nearby are far away from it, but it's also in the valley, it's next to a bridge. So it's almost like it's in a moat rather than it's the queen.
Okay.
So I'm also looking at the fact that the top of it is shaped different than what I would normally have expected out of something that I immediately reads as a chess queen.
Okay.
So that's my analysis.
Okay.
So then my interpretation is that, so right, I come back to this question, like, what is this thing even doing here? Why is it here? Why would this be the sculpture that they chose to put here on this sculpture walk? And what sort of story does it tell within this space? So the thing that stuck out to me the most in terms of interpreting is that its relationship to the bridge and the fact that it's in a valley and the fact that we're sort of in this moat.
Okay.
And then also the contrast that it poses against the trees in the background and the metal yard across the way. And so there's a way that it's sort of bringing that metal into this green space, which I think this is sort of an area of the park where I think you would otherwise like sort of sit out on a picnic area and look for shade. And this is sort of an imposing figure that doesn't invite you to do that. It feels a little protective and it feels grand, but it's also because it's hiding. I feel like it's playing with this idea of this image that we would sort of immediately recognize as majestic or royal or queen-like, sort of sunken in this hidden area as if it's something that's no longer a part of where we expect to spend our communal lives. Hmm. So that's my interpretation.
Okay. And then the final thing is judging it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
So I wrote, what is it effective, right, is the question. Is it effective? And so I wrote, so I did all of this and then I looked at what the artist had to say. So,
oh, I did not.
Okay. So I said it catches your eye, like it's appealing, like it draws your attention. But I said it would have been better from afar. When you get up close, like it's a little blocky, it's not smooth, it's not, I don't know, it's not a peaceful sculpture. It's not aesthetically pleasing, but it is at night. So like I feel like it would be better in a different context. Like it was better at night and it was better from afar. So, that's what I said in terms of whether I thought it was effective at doing, like, I didn't love it, but I was drawn to it, right? Okay, so but the thing is I do think it was incredibly effective because I basically nailed the analysis. So either I'm, like, very good at what I do, or it's a really good sculpture, a little bit of both. So it's called Squared by Charles Gattikin, and it was made for long distances and nighttime. The original ones were at Coachella and Burning Man, so it's meant to be this sort of large-scale sculpture that's appreciated, not close up. And then, quote, it was meant to be, quote, an evolution of organic matter and its amalgamation with digital technology. This tree reflects the universe of complexity, mystery, and serendipity that defines our journey through time and emergence into a future age.
Ooh.
So I, like, basically hit upon all the main themes with this sort of passage of time, this connection of, like, nature and technology. So is it effective in putting these messages? Absolutely. Like, I got them, right? Do I think it's, like, a beautiful sculpture? Yes, if from afar and at night.
How cool.
Yeah.
All right. So you just inspired me to look up my sculpture. One of the things I missed in the description is that it does have a word carved into one of the legs.
Okay.
And the word is zugzwang.
That's a word?
And so, yes, indeed. Oh, okay. I literally just Googled it. Zugzwang. Oh, I'm supposed to judge.
Yeah, judge first and then tell me.
Okay,
judge
first. Yeah,
tell us, yeah.
Is this sculpture effective at, man, I fucked up because I kind of read this thing now and I'm like, I'm trying not to overlay what I just read on my.
And well, it's fine. I mean, did you like it? That's what the judgment is about. Did you like it when you saw it? It didn't seem like it. You were talking about how it's imposing and it doesn't feel like.
Yeah. Well, I think it is effective in making you go, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Why is this here? And what am I supposed to do with it? It's definitely, you can't walk by it without asking that question.
What the fuck is this doing here? I think that was your initial question.
It was. And I think that when I was talking about my analysis or my interpretation of how it's sort of hidden and down in this moat, right, I think I am drawing on this idea that this isn't the place where she belongs. And so she is sort of stuck in a place that she can't move or anything like that. So I think my interpretation suggests that this sculpture is doing something. And now because I've looked up the word, it is effective.
Okay. Right. Exactly. I mean, that's kind of what I felt. I was like, well, shit, I got this, man. It's totally effective. Right? I think we're just also good at what we do.
So zugzwang is a situation found in chess and other turn-based games wherein one player is put at a disadvantage because of their obligation to make a move. In other words, the fact that the player is compelled to move means that their position will become significantly weaker.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So in this sort of metal queen, she can't move back because she'll go into the scrapyard. She can't move to the left because she can't get under the bridge. She can't move to the right. Well, maybe she can move to the right, but that sort of actually still moves her closer to the junkyard. It moves her closer to the ice skating rink, which seems like a really dangerous place for her to be.
Yeah.
And if she moves forward, she ends up in a parking lot and has to cross traffic. So there's really not like
all of those. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Places would pose a threat to the sculpture itself.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Does it make you appreciate it more now that you know what that word means?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't believe I'm this ridiculous. I didn't at all register the fact that the black and white blocks are what a chessboard looks like.
Oh, I assumed you did based on how you were describing it. So if you want to want to cut this part out, we can. Because I was like, okay. It's chess.
No.
Oh.
No, that didn't occur to me at all.
All right, you want to see mine?
Yeah. Oh. Interesting. Yeah, it's not beautiful.
No. And, like, during the day, it's less beautiful because it's just these, like, white blocks that are unlit.
How weird.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. The colors are beautiful. And, like, in the dark, they do make this sort of pretty thing to look at. But the way they're attached to the bases and the base itself isn't very aesthetically pleasing. And the way they're attached doesn't actually feel – it's somewhere in between random and intentional. And so it feels like it kind of missed the mark. But maybe that's also – Reno or the 70s or the casino life.
Right. It feels kind of at home here, you know? So, but it's been in many other places and there's been like different variations of it, right? Like, see, here is in the cityscape and like it kind of fits in. Like, this is the kind of tree that would be in Reno.
Yeah, right?
So, or in Reno's downtown in particular.
Yeah, that does feel like a casino version of a tree.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And we're not talking a Chihuly at the Bellagio, right? This is the Sands version. I don't know what
that word means, but okay.
He's a glass artist, and they have those flowers at the Bellagio. I'm sure you've seen his work. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He's a Tacoma-based artist. All right.
Cool.
Oh, that is very imposing. Okay. That's pretty much how I pictured it. But it's more, I kind of pictured it more mesh or something, that it wasn't so black and white.
Oh.
Like that it was like sort of, it's like very literally black and white.
Yeah. That's why it's so ridiculous that I didn't notice it was a chessboard. Like, I recognized it as a chess piece, but I didn't make that next step.
It's really sounded like you did. So
that's funny. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, and it is. It does seem a little out of place, but, like, once you know what the word means, it is a cool concept. Yeah.
Totally.
But it is, you know, it is a little bit like, what the fuck is this monster doing here, right? Yeah. And the black and white really doesn't match with any of the either green colors or the industrial colors of the cement or of the bridge.
No.
Like, it's very, like, clearly not of this place.
Yes.
So, whereas I feel like mine was, like, of this place, even if
we
don't love the aesthetics of it. Like, I felt like yours and the intention, but the intention for both of these was, you know, about context in some ways.
Yeah. Very cool.
So did you like this provocation?
I did. It was fun. I mean, I definitely do actually like this piece more now that I've thought about it. And, you know, I think one of the things that Tom talked about was, if you take the time to spend with something, you will appreciate it more, right? Yeah. It takes you somewhere. And, you know, I have walked past this a few times and been like, whatever, stupid. And I'm even an artist and, like, I like art and weird stuff. And so, like, okay, Hattie, just, like, take a hot second. Spend 3 seconds with it.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah, and I think, like, as I said, like, I've noticed, there are these pieces kind of everywhere, and I think in most towns there's some sort of abstract art that you can sort of happen upon.
Yeah.
And I am drawn to them. I have always been drawn to more abstract things because of the challenge of it. Like, I can appreciate good craftsmanship, but, like, I like something that's going to make me stop and think. But I've never done it so methodically, I guess, right? Like, even this time, I'm like, I don't know. What's the difference between analyze and interpret? I don't know. Like, let me just do it all at once. But, like, it was kind of cool to start from the basics and then sort of build upon it. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Fun. And don't forget, share your provocations with us. We want to see the abstract art in your city. Tag us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Hashtag ArtIfPodcast, @ArtIfPodcast.
And of course, remember to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you are listening.
Art If Podcast is produced by
Hattie Cry
and Yasi Jahanmir.
Our theme music was composed by Muhammad Abdul Salam.
Follow us at Art If Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to stay up to date on upcoming episodes and to join our vibrant community of artists.